You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Backstreet's back, all right. When in doubt, talk football. It carries the country. People care about what's happening in the game of football, even if it's not their team, even if it's not their part of the country. There are always storylines, and it's now become year-round.
I have some very urgent and important breaking news.
It's so much more all access, and people care so much more about every little detail, to the point where it's no longer just the head coach's fault. Now it can be the offensive or defensive coordinator's fault, or that, well, of course, it's always the referee's fault.
Not the refs. Everybody, yeah, rock your body. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
About streaming services last hour with this new one that's about to launch called Venue Sports, being a joint streamer among ESPN, Disney is the parent company, of course, as well as Fox Sports and WBD, Warner Brothers Discovery, owner of TNT TBS. So you get some sports, but not all sports, and it's the bargain basement price of $43 per month. Do you know when I first read that? Because my brain is what my brain is. I thought $43 a year, that's not terrible. And then I realized it was $43 a month and I almost fell out of my chair. Because that's not even remotely most of what you need to be able to watch sports as a whole, right? You get some NFL, but not all. Some college football, but not all. You get some NBA, but not all. And actually, you get some college basketball, but not the tournament. Well, you get the women's tournament. You don't get the men's tournament. I mean, there is a lot that you're missing out on if you don't have CBS Paramount, NBC Peacock, Amazon Prime now, right? Because the NBA is migrating to Prime. If you don't have Netflix, you miss out on pro wrestling and some NFL. If you don't have Apple Plus, well, you're missing out on some baseball as well as the MLS. There's so much that you're missing out on. You'll get a snippet, but then you think about the different regional networks that if you follow a local team and the only way you can do it is over a regional network, how about adding that to your streaming services? But starting, if this is your starting point at $43 per month and it's a limited number of sports channels or limited number of offerings, you're going to have to add others or cable. I don't see how it makes any sense. And right on the heels of that, I got an email from the NFL, which actually reminded me that this, to me, I feel like is probably the one, if you're a big-time NFL fan and you want to be able to watch everything, that NFL Plus is the subscription that you need. Forget Red Zone. Now, you wouldn't be able to watch it live, of course, but if you have NFL Plus, you can go back and watch a condensed version, sans commercials, sans ads, a condensed version of every single game, every single week. In fact, it's posted within hours of the game being done. And so I have it for those games that I can't watch live or that I want to go back and see again. So NFL Plus is a handy tool, and you too could have a subscription to NFL Plus. So yeah, it's, to me, that even is a better bargain, and it's cheaper, to be honest, than what you would get from Venue Sports. So I don't know how people do it. I still have cable and I have a couple of streaming services, but they're not just for sports. They're also for entertainment. And now there's two of us that are sharing them and we're good to go. We could not add any more. So I don't know when this one launches or how people are going to manage, but it's almost like you have to give up your cable in order to afford this. So I'd love to hear your input. Good to connect with you on this Friday morning. What? A-Law Radio. That's right. Raise the roof, baby. And also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Judging by your indulgences that you posted over the last 24 hours, some of you could be in for a real good weekend. I say just go out and swim 1,500 meters and you're good to go. Speaking of the best swimmer in the world at that distance, Katie Ledecky ends up with yet another medal. And this one's in a relay, 4x200-meter relay, meaning all four women have to swim four lengths of the pool. I believe she was the third leg for Team USA, and they managed to secure a silver. So with 13 medals to her credit, and Katie is only 27. She intends to swim in Los Angeles coming up in 4 years. Which would be amazing. Can you imagine the home pool advantage that the Americans will have, but also the raucous crowds? If the French crowds for Léon Marchand are any indication, the place will be nuts.
Like Léon said yesterday or 2 days ago, man, it would have been really cool to see Michael Phelps have this same type of situation. Maybe Katie Ledecky will stick around and have the same dream.
Oh, yeah. And right now, she's already the most decorated female American Olympian of all time and second only when it comes to pool medals to Michael Phelps. But to be able to race in Los Angeles with all the fans that would just be so thrilled to have the games back on American soil. That would be awesome. So congratulations to Katie Ledecky. She still has one event to come, by the way, so she could leave these games with 14 medals. It's the 800-meter freestyle, which I believe starts, the heat start at some point this morning. It's already past 11 Paris time. And I do see that there are races going on. USA Network has got the swimming. So these are not finals. The finals take place later. These are heats or semifinals to determine the eight that will compete in the final race. If you think about it, especially some of the sprints, there are dozens and dozens of athletes that compete to narrow it down to eight so that they can get to the point where we see the finals. But yeah, she'll be in the pool again on Friday and could end up with another gold medal. Simone Biles is back on top with another shiny gold in the all-around. And as much as we're dazzled, and we are, by her power, her strength, her athleticism, man, the girl has got hops, or as Kevin Durant tweeted, she's got bounce. I'm not that cool. But she can leap up over 13 feet. I mean, it's incredible the power that she has. But she's also got the artistry and the flair and the smile and the beauty, of course. She is the total package. She is what many will tell you the greatest gymnast of all time. And she had a goat necklace to maybe illustrate that point. But as much as we could be dazzled by what she does on the floor and what she does on the balance beam and the uneven bars, as well as the vault, I think her story is far more inspirational because it features this comeback. And it's both her and Suni Lee. Suni was dealing with physical health challenges. In Simone's case, it was mental health challenges. And she's been so open about that, talking about the conversations with her therapist to help her stay calm and focus both Tuesday and Thursday before she competed. Suni has talked about how 6 months ago, all she could do was lay around. And both of these gymnasts feared, maybe thought, that their careers were over. I mean, Simone has indicated she thought Tokyo might be the end of her career. She didn't think she'd ever get back to this point. And Suni had said the same thing, battling two very serious kidney issues. So different challenges, different adversity, different points at which they thought maybe their dreams were dead and gone and in the past. And yet here they are. And to me, that's the inspirational part. Most of us, the vast majority of us, cannot identify with what they do out there on the balance beam or the floor. Most of us couldn't do a tumbling run like that if we practiced for the rest of our lives. Right? So that part, it's like watching Steph Curry hit threes, the rate at which he does. It's like watching LeBron James power down the lane. It's like watching Caitlin Clark run up and down the court. Most of us, we can't relate to competing in a sport at the highest level, which is why it's so incredible. But almost all of us can relate to needing to talk to someone or dealing with a different type of mental health. And maybe it's not something that has to be diagnosed, but it's anxiety that we deal with. Most of us know what it's like to deal with some type of physical malady that limits us or causes us pain. Or maybe it's something else. It's a family issue. It's a failure. It's a fear. Whatever it is, a lot of us have encountered a point in our lives where we felt like all hope was lost, or at the very least, that something we loved to do, a dream that we had, was dead. I can certainly relate to that. But I love the way that these women, young women, set their mind to getting back to the top and put all the work into it. The blood, the sweat, the tears, they're open, they're honest about the journeys. And that, to me, is what's so inspirational. They're not pretending like everything's great. They're not acting like this wasn't hard as hell. No. And the joy that you can see on both of their faces as they compete. So right now I'm seeing some of the highlights again of Suni Lee's floor routine. Every single tumbling pass, when she landed it and stuck her 2 feet to the mat, the ginormous smile right in the middle of her routine. The joy that she competed with this week. Why? Because 6 months ago, she physically couldn't do any of this. Isn't that crazy? She says she had to relearn all these skills. She had to get in shape. She had to get back in the gym and start essentially from scratch. Not that there wasn't muscle memory there, but she couldn't do any of it. She was physically incapable. All she wanted to do was get back in the gym. And then it got to the point where she was going to be able to compete for a spot on the Olympic team. And now look. And her story, even her comeback, had another chapter last night. Why? Because she was in eighth place after the first rotation. And somehow, she calls herself resilient. I say it's the resiliency, it's the courage, it's the confidence, it's certainly the joy, it's the skill, it's the years of practice and repetition, it's the support that she and Simone give each other, that their coaches give to them. I mean, it's bravery, right? In the face of your fears, all of that is what inspires me the most about these young women. Amazing to watch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Don't expect Simone Biles to give you the cocky, arrogant answer about being the GOAT, even though right now that's what everybody's calling her. In fact, even Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Drew Holiday, who else was there? Tyrese Halliburton was yelling at the top of his lungs. I mean, even the men's basketball team. Oh, Tony Hawk, greatest skateboarder of all time in many cases. Zinedine Zidane, who is a fantastic French footballer. You had all kinds of A-listers and other GOATs, Michael Phelps, watching and hanging on her every move. And yet it's kind of fun to hear her reaction to being called the GOAT.
3 years ago, I never thought I'd step foot on a gymnastics floor again just because of everything that had happened. But with the help of Cecile and Laurent, I got back in the gym and worked really hard mentally and physically. Even this morning at 7 a.m., I saw my therapist and there's a time change. So she is so amazing for allowing me to do that these couple of days here in Paris.
Yeah, think about that. Even in the hours leading up to it, she was still leaning on the people that she needed to for support. And there's also a story out there where she and Suni and Jordan, who was there last night, Jordan Chiles, they were up late the night before their Tuesday team competition just to support each other and to talk to each other and to kind of help one another deal with some of the nerves and the anxiety as they face that pressure. However, she may say that it's crazy to her to be considered in the GOAT conversation, but just for fun, she was sporting a GOAT necklace after the competition.
My GOAT necklace is just kind of an ode because the people love it and then some people hate it. So it's like the best of both worlds. And I was like, okay, if it goes well, we'll wear the GOAT necklace. I know people will go crazy over it, but at the end of the day, it is crazy that I am in the conversation of greatest of all athletes because I just still think I'm Simone Biles from Spring, Texas that loves to flip.
You can be both, right? And that's part of finding a joy in the midst of pressure, is that regardless of what happens on that balance beam or the uneven bars where she had a real slip up, something that we're not used to seeing from her, regardless of how many mistakes I make on the radio, not that I want to, of course, I'm a perfectionist when it comes to it, regardless of what happens that's out of our control. And in some cases they are, like the Mike Trout injury. He's worked so hard to get back to the point at which he can play, only to have setback after setback, injury after injury. And yet, it's not the only thing that identifies him or that defines who he is. In fact, I hope it's not even the most important thing. In the case of Simone, she's a wife. She's a dog mom, right? She said that. She's a sister. She's a daughter. She's got so many people who love her. And it's about finding that balance. And I love hearing from Suni, too. And Suni has three sisters, which is pretty incredible. She talked about, too, just recognizing that gymnastics for so long had been the only thing to her. It was the most important thing. And what really helped her get through those challenges with her kidneys is that, this is not the end of my life. Even if I can't compete again, there's more to me than just gymnastics. And so these are all great life lessons. And we watch them because of what they can do in the gym. But I think what we can learn from them and what we can hear from them, it's so much more profound than being able to perform at the highest level in gymnastics. You may have seen that Suni was talking to herself going into her last routine, which was the floor exercise. And she had to wait quite a while. The judges were working on scores, blah, blah, blah. And it was meticulous because she was tied for fourth, and there were three athletes going into the final routine, the floor exercises, that were within a couple hundredths of a point of one another. So it was going to be very tight, and her routine would determine whether or not she was on the podium, which she said was her goal. And so she was definitely giving herself a pep talk before that floor exercise.
After beam, I honestly was just telling myself, like, there's really no shot for a medal. So I was just like, just go out there and have fun. And that's exactly what I did. I did everything that I was supposed to. And here we are. I'm so happy with my medal. I mean, I didn't even think that I would be here. So to be here is just a blessing in itself.
I didn't even think I would be here. How about that? And it's crazy, too, because there she was with one rotation to go and didn't think. She said, no shot. It's like a reverse psychology, no shot at getting a medal. And yet there she was. And it was awesome. I'm telling you, if you have not seen any of the routines, but you want to understand what this is all about for them, watch the floor routines, because in the middle of it, I've seen it over and over again, I am so captivated by the gigantic smiles they're flashing right in the middle of their routines for the joy, because they recognize that they've conquered so many mountains and have worked so hard to get back here. And it's just a different experience, right? When you have the depth of that wisdom and experience from having lost something that you love so much, but being able to get a second chance, just incredible. One more with Simone, and she and Suni were interviewed on NBC following this amazing experience. By the way, they still have more routines. Simone, for sure, she's competing in the individual event finals. So this was the all-around where you're getting a composite score for all four routines, but she still has, I don't remember which one she didn't qualify in. It might be the uneven bars. There's one of the events that she won't compete for another medal, but she still has routines to come for individual medals. And I think Suni does as well, at least on the uneven bars. So we're going to see more of these American gymnasts now moving forward. But it was cool to hear just Simone gushing about why this particular gold medal is so special.
I put a lot of mental work into it, physical work. Coming back from Tokyo, the journey wasn't easy, so I'm ecstatic to be on this stage, especially competing with Suni again, both Olympic champions. So it's like, it's just insane. It's crazy. It all paid off, and I couldn't be more excited for how the night played out.
It was actually really close on NBC. It was not a runaway like what we've seen from her in the past. It was tight. And there is a great Brazilian gymnast that maybe you've seen before, Rebeca Andrade, and she was terrific too. And so it was really tight. At one point, Simone was in third, and the last two routines, balance beam and floor exercise, are two of her strengths. And so she was able to overtake the two gymnasts in front of her. But yeah, it was good drama. And so I don't know how many people picked Hall of Fame football preseason, kind of fake football, but still the start of the preseason. I don't know how many people picked that over the gymnastics, but I'm gonna go ahead and bet that the TV viewership and the ratings numbers for the gymnastics on Thursday night were over the moon. They're going to be out of this world. We had, nearly 13 million tune in for the team competition on Tuesday, and that wasn't actually very dramatic. I mean, yes, they had to go out and perform, and it was kind of a, as they talked about their redemption tour, the Golden Girls, as they've called themselves. So there was that, just kind of the idea of getting back on top, but they ran away with the gold. They were almost 6 points up on Italy. This was a lot more dramatic. So I'm thinking with the star power of Simone Biles and just the A-listers that paid big time bucks to be there, that yeah, people were watching all over the United States, even though you could have watched it earlier on Peacock. So I already knew what happened, and I still thought it was a terrific show. I spent the majority of my time watching it, though I did flip over to the Hall of Fame game a little bit. And the big takeaway is about the new kickoff rules, the new kickoff formation. So we'll get to that coming up at A-Law Radio and then Facebook as well. Good morning to you. It's a Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Colin Johnson out to the left side with Pettis to the right with Swain. Snap back with good protection. Throwing to the end zone. Coming open. Colin Johnson. Left side. Touchdown, baby. Touchdown, Bears. They've taken the lead here in Canton. 20-17 over the Texans.
Well, as feared, weather has moved into the area in the offing. And so with the severe weather approaching, we have a canceled game, suspended, officially shortened. It's happened several times in Hall of Fame games. 1980, Packers in San Diego with 5:29 to go. Here, 3:31 to go in the third. The Bears will get the win, 21-17.
This is Klay Thompson, four-time champion with the Golden State Warriors. You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hi, Klay. It's a mutual admiration society. And even though he is with the Warriors now, I will absolutely be rooting for him, just as I'm sure he will still be following the show.
Makes me feel really good.
At A-Law Radio, good to talk to you. I was quoting Lamar Jackson on my Twix yesterday, actually. You'll have to go and check it out. I added the emojis, but I did get his direct quote in honor of the first day of August. Now it's August 2nd. We've got one preseason football game in the rearview mirror, but it was cut. It's just so comical. It was cut short by weather again on the Bears radio network. So we really didn't get a full sample size of what it's going to be with these kickoff rules. It's a set formation. Both the receiving and the kicking teams are lined up much closer to the landing zone. So I guess if you're looking at it from the kicker's perspective, as he kicks off, he's got a whole lot of open field in front of him because his teammates are backed way up, or I guess they're farther down the field. And then there's only 10 yards in between the two lines. Neither line can move. Neither kicking nor receiving team can move until the ball is actually touched. Now, whether it's caught, whether it's bobbled, nobody can move until it's touched. And it kind of reminds me of something that you might see in basketball, right? Now, depending upon international, college, NBA, the rules are different. But when you're shooting free throws, some cases, athletes have to stand there until the ball touches the rim. right? So it mitigates the head start that these guys are getting before they slam into each other. I don't know how much difference it's going to make when it comes to the actual placement of the ball. It might save on injuries. And I think one of the things the competition committee was hoping is that it would also do away with a bunch of the touchbacks, right? Because last year there were 70% of kickoffs that ended in touchbacks. So I don't know. We just have a 2.5 quarters, really, with a sample size. But what we saw last night is that it's not all that different than what you might expect in a game last year. So the new rules kind of resulted in the same ball placement, even if the formation looks a whole lot different. So here's one example. Opening kickoff, returned 21 yards by the Texans. Steven Sims ends up at the 26-yard line. Well, that's just 1 yard past where they'd be with a touchback, okay? So then after Davis Mills, leads the Texans on a touchdown drive, kicker Kyeme Fairbairn, he kicks off. It's the Bears who receive, same thing, 21-yard return. So everybody's stacked up is kind of the idea. Again, they don't have the full length of the field to run and get full head of steam before they slam into each other. And I've heard a couple of players describe it a lot more like a run play, so a running formation, than a kickoff. But ultimately, does it get you much farther up the field than touchbacks? Yeah, I guess we'll see. We've only seen a few so far. I think there were seven or eight last night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What do you look for in the preseason, D'Amico Ryans, especially when you don't have your top guys out there on the field?
We just want to see who can go out and just play. And that's what you see. Some guys step up in these moments, and some guys have a longer way to go. But you learn from it, and you build from it, and you see how guys, where they start. It's not about where they start, it's about how they show up next week. So that's what I'm most excited to see, is how guys show up the following week.
It's kind of fun to see him and his reaction to Andre Johnson getting introduced on the field in Canton last night, because they were teammates with the Houston Texans. So that's kind of fun. So yeah, Andre Johnson and just some other great names to be honored this weekend at the Hall of Fame. The game is generally secondary anyway. What about the offense for Matt Eberflus? No Caleb Williams, but Tyson Bagent out there and Brett Rypien throwing 3 touchdown passes. This is what I love. I love seeing Brett Rypien surge back to a headline. He's trending on social for a little bit, even though he's one of the oldest dudes on the team. I actually heard him talking about it. That's kind of funny. It's in the blink of an eye. It's in a flash. You go from being, a new guy, trying to get your feet wet.
Young and spry.
Trying to keep a job. Yeah, don't ache at night when you lay down. And now you're one of the old dudes on the team. Anyway, the offense, it's got a bunch of different pieces. Not that we saw last night, but Matt Eberflus needs to get everybody on the same page.
Being the first time together, the communication, I thought that was outstanding the whole night. The way they operated when they were not on the field with the players, you know, and the way they operated in the halftime was really good. And then during the game when they were on the field, and they did a great job communicating, working together. And some of those guys have worked together before, but it's a new group. And I thought they did a really good job with that.
Hope springs eternal, baby. Here we go. Let's quick take a call from Bill, who's in, is it Venetia?
Yes, Venetia.
Welcome to After Hours. Happy Friday.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Amy. I just want to say that when I'm watching the young ladies do the gymnastics, I get all teared up to see how good they're doing. And then it made me think, are they sleeping on the cardboard beds that they were complaining about in Paris or not? If they are, then maybe they should always sleep on them.
I think they're competing well in spite of them. But the last I knew, they were staying in the Olympic Village, yes. So they weren't among the athletes who bolted. But they did talk about some of the food. And Jordan Childs, for instance, she was eating pizza. That was her big push. And they were trying to be diplomatic, and I think not say something real negative.
Anything bad.
But yeah, they did earlier in the games admit that they were having a hard time with some of the beds and some of the food options. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was just curious, and it sure makes me proud to see them. I'll
yes,
tell you that.
Yes, I agree with that. It's one of those moments where you can yell USA, USA, and I thought it was kind of fun too.
You know, Simone has been through so much, and to go on and on in her gymnastics is amazing. I'm wondering if she's going to make another one.
She might. I mean, we haven't heard anything about her future yet, but I can imagine a lot of these American Olympians, if they can, would want to shoot for another round because it's going to be in the United States. Now, she's 27. It's not unheard of. There actually was a British gymnast that was 32 in these games. She wasn't an all-around competitor, but she was part of the team competition. And so it's not like she would be the only one, but I've heard her talk about how physically her body just doesn't respond the same way anymore, obviously, when it's been through so much. So we'll see whether or not she wants to go through this again.
It'll be interesting. Thanks,
yes.
Amy.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to talk to you. Have a great weekend. Yeah, it's not done for her yet. She's still got more opportunities, but it's really neat. I think on these back-to-back nights, and actually Katie Ledecky again last night, but to see two of the greatest female athletes in their respective sports competing and having the chance to root for them again, which is awesome. They're both 27, and so we'll see whether or not they're still around come the LA Olympics. 855-212-4227. What do I want to do coming up? Oh, that's a good question. I will decide. I'll figure it out, but I'm sure you're not going to miss it. Whatever it is, it'll be scintillating. It'll be radio gold. Thanks so much for having us as part of your Friday morning. I hope we make it better, not worse. Here's our latest sports update. I'm confident we make it better, not worse. And here's Marco Belletti.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass,
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I was a brute, little undersized, 5'11", but really strong, Italian strong.
I ain't no size 2, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do.
Hips. Not only built for birth and babies, but for boxing out. Hips and a butt. That's what God gave them to me for.
I'm all about that bass, no trouble.
All about that bass, no trouble.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass,
at the pool in Paris. Right now, they're going through the various heats for the women's individual medley 200 meters, right? So they do all of the different swims, the four strokes up and back, and they're going through the early heats before they get to what would be the semifinals and the finals later on. But according to Pat Forty, who is there at the pool in Paris, he's working for Sports Illustrated, and I did not see this on TV. We're watching it. I've got the live coverage up here on USA, but I did not see this. A scary moment at swimming with one of the athletes prone on the deck and emergency personnel rushing to the scene after the third heat of the women's 200 IM, the individual medley. So I think they're in heat 6 now, maybe. So it happened about 20 minutes ago. He did post a photo. Oh, actually, they've moved on to a different swim now. He did post a photo, and it was an athlete on a backboard. And he says even surrounded by EMTs, even getting oxygen. So we don't have any other details. I haven't seen it anywhere else. All I know is that he was watching it unfold about 20 minutes ago. And so if we see any updates, we will let you know. But they definitely did not show it on TVs. That part we didn't see. But yeah, it's been kind of cool to be able to watch some of these various races or early morning beach volleyball or some of the other sports. Golf is live right now. And from what I read, 20,000 plus fans showing up to Le Golf National. That's what they call it, Le Golf National. So their national golf course. I think that's amazing. The atmosphere at a lot of these different venues has been incredible for men's and women's basketball, for men's and women's soccer, and certainly for the swimming, especially when Leon Marchand is involved, or the $1,000 ticket to get into gymnastics. That's what Steve Futterman told us yesterday morning. It's After Hours. We're getting close to the top of the hour where we give you a shove right into your weekend. We're getting an early jump on it. But you know what? We also have to curtail our weekends on Sundays. So don't be jealous. Don't be green with envy because we get to come back early from the weekends. But looking forward to it. I know you're going to be super jealous when I tell you that there's a lot of laundry in my future, as well as cleaning some bathrooms and woohoo! And also cleaning the floors. I discovered that my cat had used the spare bedroom as a spare litter box yesterday. Oh my gosh. That, thankfully, that never happens, which is why it was such a shocker. But yes, something smelled a little funny in the spare bedroom, which is where she hangs out a lot of the time. Yay, us. So yard work Thursday, some household chores on Friday. Maybe, just maybe, that means a beach day on Saturday. So hoping that's kind of the goal. I hope that your weekend is exactly what you need as well, whether that features Olympics, whether it features baseball. There's no more preseason football this weekend, but certainly there's a lot to talk about. And it'll be good to get a break. That's what I feel like in the summer weekends. There's always a lot of activities that pull us in a bazillion different directions. A lot of you weighing in about the conversation we had regarding streaming apps earlier. I think it's going to continue to be a challenge for sports fans. And there's also litigation involved at different streaming services. Even we know with the Warner Brothers Discovery lawsuit that they're filing against the NBA because they don't believe that they should be eclipsed or prevented from carrying games moving forward to this next rights deal. Why? Well, because they matched what Amazon offered. But the NBA wants not just the streaming money. The Amazon option also allows them to stream overseas to a much larger audience. And that's something that Warner Brothers Discovery can't do. So it's going to continue to morph and change. And we're going to see, I have no doubt, more and more streaming services that aren't traditional sports or haven't been in the sports market continue to throw their hat in the ring. And as long as there is money, well, then the leagues will be interested. Okay, so where, Manny, did you get this information? Tamara Pataka of Slovakia, the injured swimmer. Okay, so I'll go back and I'll check Pat Forty's Twitter account. Yeah, Olympic broadcast ID'd the swimmer who went down as Tamara Pataka of Slovakia. No update yet on what happened or on her condition. So praying for the best for her as the swimming continues. That's the crazy part. You look up, swimming's still there. So hopefully she's okay and she got the medical attention that she needed right away. It's something that you don't generally think about when you're thinking about Olympics, because it's all of the emotion of it. And the fact that these athletes have, in some cases, one shot, maybe if they're competing in other events, two shots, but they have one shot to be able to perform at the highest level. And I'm always blown away when they do. And also blown away when we've got young stars. And every 4 years, this is how it happens, where it's a new generation of stars that are able to kind of take over. And you never know when we're going to get the next megastar or the next GOAT, if you will. For instance, there's a 17-year-old for Canada. Her name's Summer McIntosh, and she's got second gold in Paris in the pool. And then you've got Katie Douglas, who's also a teenager, who earned a gold for the Americans yesterday. And so, yeah, it's just kind of neat to think about what the future might hold for some of these bright young stars, which is something else that I really love about the Olympics. And I love the fact that you had the USA men's basketball team hooting and hollering and cheering and taping Simone Biles' routines as well. That was pretty awesome, too. So while the Olympics continue on for another week, we're kind of divesting. Yeah, right. He was celebrating. He was leading the USA chants. Tyrese Halliburton was standing up and was filming. These guys were doing standing O's.
We have a pulse. That's all we need.
That's awesome when you get athletes who are so good at what they do, and they support other athletes. And not just that, but they want to be there to be able to see them in person. KD said this is the first time I've ever seen Simone Biles compete in person, and he said, I wish I had calves like hers. That's awesome. Just the stories are so good. And actually, one story that we remember from 3 years ago, Sha'Carri Richardson was not able to compete in the Olympics after she tested positive for pot and for marijuana. And so she will make her Olympic debut coming up this week. In fact, I think she competes on Friday as track and field gets underway. And maybe we'll get more stories like this one. The American fencing team. Yeah, right? How many of us could even name one element of fencing? Like one.
On guard.
I know that foil has something to do with it, but I have no idea what that
means. Reynolds wrap.
I'm sure it's that. The U.S. captured its first team fencing gold in women's foil. I couldn't tell you what that's all about, although I did see... It was a video. Shoot, who was it? Oh, Bam Adebayo had somehow gotten a hold of one of those, would you call it a sword?
Saber.
Thank you. See, this is not my area of expertise. It's one reason why we don't talk about this. But yeah, he had gotten hold of a saber and was doing a video where he's whipping it all around. It makes a really cool noise, actually. But led by Lee Kiefer, she's won 3 Olympic golds now in the sport of fencing, but the U.S., for the first time ever, wins fencing gold in the women's foil. I mean, I love that. We're going to take over fencing now like we did with curling. And how about rugby sevens? After, what was it, a 75-yard scamper at the very end, we win a bronze in rugby sevens. Watch out. Watch out. We're gearing up for LA 28. Have a great weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!